If you would, to Psalm 119, we'll read verses 9 through 16 responsively. I'll read the first verse, we'll all read the second verse together, and so on. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in all the ways of thy testimony, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you, Father, for this wonderful portion of Scripture. And I pray, dear God, you give us ears to hear. I pray, Father, we would pick up on the truth that you're trying to get across to us in these verses. Bless us, dear God. Help us to be what we ought to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in this section, we read of the psalmist's desire to live a clean and holy life. He didn't want to be spotted all over by sin like a Dalmatian dog, but he did want to be blameless, and he wanted to draw nigh to the Lord. Few believers pay any attention to how they tarnish their testimony or the damage of the stain of sin that does to their life. Now, many are quite comfortable with putting on the old man and living a carnal life. They never even consider that they could at any moment be ushered into the very presence of Christ when he comes into the air for his own. Yes, they will be embarrassed then. They'll be red-faced at the rapture. Or as John puts it in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." According to the word, this blessed hope is to have a purifying effect on God's people's lives. 1 John 3:3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure." It is only as we grow in the word of God and in our walk with the Lord that we become concerned about anything that may tarnish our testimony and affect the righteousness that is in our life. This second stanza of 8 verses begins with the psalmist exclaiming, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" While this is not a desire to be saved and to be cleansed from the penalty and guilt of sin, it is a longing of a sincere believer to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the cry of one who cannot stand the stain of sin and of one who wants to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light and enjoy unbroken fellowship with the Savior. He is weary of sin and the distance that it puts between him and the one who saved him by his grace. I am sure he realizes that in this body of flesh, that he will never be sinless, but he does desire to be sinning less. All of the saints who make the decision to learn the word of God and obey the word of God will soon come to the realization that they want to also be free from the stain of sin. You see, the more you grow, the closer you become to Jesus, and the more sensitive to sin that you become. And you are aware that, you know what? That every thought, word, deed, and attitude needs to be right and correct before the Lord. This psalmist declares that we must do two things in our hearts if we are to become more holy. We must focus our heart as well as feed our heart. Notice, first of all, we must focus our hearts. Our hearts must be focused on the Word of God And we must set our hearts on seeking and keeping God's commandments if we are to remain undefiled in the way. We are to have a deep desire to be clean and understand the deceitful danger of wandering from God's commandments. In verse 10, we see the psalmist's desperate desire, and it reads as such: "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? All who long for holiness, all who want to develop a heart for God's word, can and should identify with David here. He, like all godly people, want to live holy lives and be clean." The practical teaching is clear, as this verse has been used to deal with the sins of youth. And yes, while victory over the sins of youth are achieved by taking heed according to thy word, that same word protects us all from temptation if we heed it. This is what the Bible teaches, as it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." When believers put God's word in their heart, that word, when lived by, will steer them clear from wrongdoing. So don't get the idea that this passage is only applying to young people. It is applying to middle age. It is applied to old age. It is meant for all of us who, despite our age, want to live in a godly fashion. The Bible addresses believers as babes in Christ, little children, young men, men, and aged. But holiness should be a desire that everyone should have, no matter what stage they are in. As a babe in Christ, I had a desire for holiness. I knew that smoking defiled the temple of the Holy Ghost, so I quit. I knew my speech was unbecoming of a Christian, so the cursing and cussing and profanity had to go. I understood the consumption of alcohol tarnished my testimony, so I poured it down the drain. And I also realized that the music that I was listening to certainly didn't have to do with the new song that God put into my heart, and so I got rid of it. Then over the years, the teaching of God's word led me to be more careful on who my friends should be, about what I watch on TV, and even to abstain from all appearance of evil. I still long to be holy as he is holy. I want to be pure in word, thought, deed, motive, and attitude. I've been saved now for over 40 years, and I'm still fully aware of my lack of holiness. This morning on the way to church, Connie was talking about this very thing. She says, "You know, it's amazing what God has done in our lives since back in 1983. She says, "We're not the same people that we were. And if people knew us back then and know us now, they would notice that there has been a tremendous change in our lives." Well, the reason for that is we got into the Word of God, and we both have a desire to live holy, godly, Christ-like lives. I have often felt like the prophet Isaiah, who in the presence of God cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So whatever stage of spirituality you find yourself in, the teaching of verse 9 fits. You see, when you have a genuine heart for God and His Word, you'll have a keen sense of your own lack of holiness. There can be no doubt what the answer to the question found in verse 9 is: "For the way to cleanse one's way is by taking heed thereto according to thy word." And that means we go in a decisive direction. We must pay attention to our ways, and we must make certain that it is according to the word of God. We must resolve to adjust our lives to what thus saith the Lord. This will result in us cleansing our way. This is the only way that we can have a clean walk with the Lord. Now, a half-hearted attempt will not do. For verse 10 tells us, with my whole heart have I what? Sought thee. One who loves the Bible, one who loves the Lord, will assure their way is in agreement with God's word. Then in the latter part of verse 10, we see a deceitful danger. David recognized a danger believers face, for he writes this, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, even those with right desires toward holiness and those who pay close attention to their way know what it's like to every now and then wander from God's commandments. Now, the word wander there does not mean to rebel. It doesn't mean to deliberately turn from, but it does mean to go astray and to sin through ignorance. We need to be ever on the alert of wandering from the truth, even after our heart has been fixed on the Lord. Yes, we're all prone to wander. And while you may fix your heart on God last week and even be the most sincere believer since the Apostle Paul, yet if we don't constantly fine-tune our hearts, making sure that it is properly aligned with God's word, we are going to go to wandering. We're going to go off course, even though that was never our intention to begin with. So we see that we must focus the heart on God. We must keep it in tune with God's word. Then we are to feed the heart. We are to feed the heart. In this section of Psalm 119, there are seven different things that David does to keep him from wandering from the Lord's commandments. And all of them have to do with his heart. So he provides the heart nourishment by feasting on God's word. By feasting on God's word. First of all, in verse 9, he decides to adjust his way to take heed according to thy word. Now, how many think David was quite an intelligent man? Yes, he was. He ran a kingdom. He had to have a little bit on the coconut. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? I don't adjust my ways to what I think is right. I'm not adjusting my ways to what my thoughts are or what my human reasoning is. I'm going to adjust my ways to the Word of God. Now ask yourself, is that what you do? Or do you think you know better than the Lord? Or do you just go on out there hoping it's going to be all right and God's going to rubber stamp what you think? We need to adjust our ways, what? According to His Word. Are you willing to let the Word of God dictate how you are to live? If not, everything else we will consider from here on out is going to be useless. Listen, the difference between obedience and disobedience is one attitude toward God's word, and the surest evidence of our love for the Lord is our obedience to His commands. Jesus did say, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And if we don't keep His commandments, we don't love Him as we ought to. So we need to what? Feed the heart. How do we do that? Take heed according to thy word. Then number two, we ought to memorize the word of God. We are to memorize the word of God. In verse 11, David feeds the heart by memorizing God's word. He writes this, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not, what? Sin against thee. You may say, but preacher, I just don't have a good memory. Well, you can take heart because you already have a memory. You have done a fine job of memorizing your address, have you not? Your date of birth. Come on now. Amen. Your phone number. For some, your social security number. You have memorized other important dates. You remember when you're born. And if you're married, you ought to remember your anniversary. You remember the time of services here. Some of you know it, but you just show up late anyways. And you can recall, listen to this, vivid details and important events that have taken place in your life. So don't tell me you can't memorize the Word of God. Somebody's lying. The issue is not your ability to memorize, but rather your motivation and what you want to memorize. You will always memorize the things that are important to you. And when you don't memorize the Word of God, it just shows that you're not, it's not that important. Right. Well, I didn't come here to get scolded. Well, stick around. I got one opportunity and I'll keep it coming. If you allow God to develop in you a heart like unto His, and one that loves His Word, you'll have the motivation to memorize. And memorizing His Word will no longer be a problem. We ought to read the Bible every day. We ought to read the Bible through every year. And this will cause us to be familiar with its contents. You will find that the more you read, the more you study, the more you meditate, the more you pray and interact with the Scriptures, the more Scripture you will commit to memory. So take verses, repeat them often, and then once you have memorized them, they become hidden in your heart. It'll always be there, even if you can't recall them at will. You'll see that once it is stored in the memory banks, then you need them, when you need them, the Holy Spirit will recall it to you. Listen, notice what it says in John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your what? Remembrance, whatsoever I have what? Said unto you. So let's feed the heart. Let's obey the Scriptures. Let's memorize what it says. You can do it. Stop using the excuse. Number three, why don't we learn the Word? Now listen, if you're not in the Word, you know what? You don't have much of a faith. You're not much of a Christian. Now I understand if you just got saved, that's fine. But you know what? You ought to have a hunger for it. You ought to read it every day. You ought to be growing. And if you've been saved for decades, you ought to be a pretty good Christian. And if you're not, you're the only one who's at fault for that. Let's learn the Word. Verse 12 says, Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me what? Thy statutes. Notice that the desire to learn the Word is preceded by praise and submission. True learning of the Word takes place when first of all, praise is offered up and we are in submission to God's Word. True biblical learning takes place when the Lord Himself instructs us. Now, I'm grateful for what others have taught me from the Scriptures. You know, when I was in my first church, Brother Stuckey, who led me to the Lord, was the man behind the pulpit. And I learned so much Bible from him in about 2.5 years. So much so that when I went to Bible college, I was disappointed. And you know what? He didn't have a doctorate's degree. But all the professors there did. And when they taught, I would think to myself, and I'm paying for this? I already know this. And I thought, man, I'm really going to get in deep in the Word when I go to Bible college. No! I was already instructed by Rick Stuckey, and what a blessing that was. And every time I see him, I remind him of how blessed I was to be under his ministry for those years. And I'm grateful for it. But nothing compares to what I've learned by sitting at the Savior himself. Daily, and prior to my time of reading the Word of God, I asked the Lord to open thou mine eyes, that I may see great and mighty things out of his Word. You know, I'm to be a student. He is to be my teacher. I am a disciple. He is my instructor. And as I am taught, my heart is fed. Let me ask you, does praise come naturally for you? When's the last time you thank God for who he is? When's the last time you thanked him for your salvation? Or when you opened up the Bible, you thanked him for his word? Does praise come natural to you? It should. God's done a whole lot for us. His character is worthy of being praised. Have you dealt with submission to the lordship of Christ in your life? If not, you're not in a position to learn things in the Bible that will affect your heart. You see, we're supposed to obey the word. We're not supposed, you know, it's not awful wrong to question God's word, but it sure is to deny it. You know, sometimes I read the Bible and I'm like, man, what's that all about? You know, you read Ezekiel and those visions that he's got, and I'm thinking, what was he on? No, I'm only kidding. But you know, they're tough, aren't they? But you know, I still read them, and I can still get something out of them. Listen, we need to learn the Word of God. And then, number four, should we not speak the Word? Look at verse 13. Notice a powerful principle of learning, and that is telling others what you have learned. It tells us, with my lips, whose lips? The psalmist's lips, right? Have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth? Whose mouth? God's mouth. So what he's learned, he's speaking to others. David not only believed that the Bible was spoken to existence by God himself, but he was convinced of what he learned from it was worth repeating to others. You realize what I study? You folks get? I speak it to you, but it comes from God's word. We should learn the word not merely to satisfy our own needs, but to teach someone else. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, now he's writing to Timothy, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see here a mother passing on her word to her daughter, and her daughter then passing on the word that she learned from the word to her son. And Paul tells Timothy that he is not to be a reservoir of truth, but he is to be a channel of it. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 states this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, isn't this part of discipleship? Should not all of God's people be involved in this endeavor? You know, when someone comes up to you and asks a question, you know what? You ought to have a ready answer. And that answer ought to come from the Bible. They don't need what you think. You know, I get a little weary of asking somebody something or hearing somebody ask another person something. They say, well, I think. And I want to grab that person and pull them away and say, don't listen to what they got to say. Why can't we say the Bible says? I know why. Because we don't know what it says. And that's sad. Now, It is always right to pass on biblical truth to those who ask for it or have a desire to know it. In Joshua 1:8, you read of God telling Joshua that he is to be guided by the book that he wrote. It reads this way: "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Did you hear that? "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, does not the Lord tell Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth? Does he say that? In other words, the words of God's book should always be on our tongue. All of this has to do with the heart. For Jesus says this in Matthew 12, 34 and 35. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So your heart, or your words, communicate what's in your heart. Now think about it. If we're fixed in our commitment to obey the Word of God, and we put the effort in to memorize it and learn it by submitting to the Lord, then it's natural that our heart would be filled with His Word and we'll speak it to others. What's the topic of your conversation? So many Christians don't ever mention the Word of God. They talk about their daily routine, their life, their laundry, their TV show. What do you talk about? If you're not talking about the Word of God, there's something wrong with you and your relationship to the Scriptures. I mean, you can talk to some Christians for hours on end and they never bring up one single thing about the Word of God. They'll talk about their family, they'll talk about this, they'll talk about that, but not once will they get into a scriptural conversation. Now, how many think that they got the Word of God hidden in their heart? Raise your hand. They don't, do they? Because if it was in there, it would come out their mouth. Pretty simple, isn't it? He said, "Preacher, I didn't come here to get all this." Well, you're going to get some more. Amen. Number five, we should prioritize the Word. Verse 14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." What? You're kidding. No. If you have the right heart attitude toward God and His Word, you will rejoice at His what? Testimonies. As much as in what? Oh! When you focus your heart on God's Word and feed it with the Scriptures, your time spent in the Bible will not be a drudgery. It'll be a delight. Your life will no longer continue as it was, for the application of the truth is changing you, and you'll be forced to rethink what is the most important thing in your life. You will discover that making money, advancing your career, or the plans you have for your retirement are not the priority that it used to be. Oh, okay. I thought I was going to drop a pin there. You'll find the Word of God and the will of God will now top your list. You will discover the wealth of God's Word, and you will enjoy living by it. And it'll show up on this. You say, "What's that?" Your face. You know, I read this article the other day about this girl in Australia that could not smile. She had a disease. It's a rare disease. And How many know about that? You saw that thing too? But she can't smile. She even went for surgery and all this other stuff. And I said, man, the people I preach to got that disease. So many of them got that disease. I'm saying that's what's wrong with it. It can't possibly be that they don't like the Word of God being preached, could it? It couldn't possibly be that they're not living by the Word of God or living for the Lord. Could it? Yeah, I don't believe they got the disease. Pretty sad, isn't it? Because sin will rob the joy in your life. Then number six, you will contemplate the Word. Notice verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Now, meditation today is so often associated with people burning incense and a bunch of weirdos. Correct? However, true biblical meditation is something we all need to partake in. Was not Joshua told by God to meditate day and night in the Word of God? Does not Psalm 1 verse 2 tell us, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, what? Day and night. Now, meditating in the Word of God is what gives us genuine wisdom and understanding of his precepts, and this produces a respect unto the ways of God. So often believers stubbornly refuse to follow the Word of God and charge ahead with their own plans. They do. And it's because they have never thought it through biblically. You know, I made some decisions, and the worst decisions I ever made in my Christian's life is when I left God out of it. I did not wait for an answer. Has that ever happened to anybody else? Oh, okay. You know, I hope I don't make those same mistakes. But every now and then I tell Connie, we're going to do something. She said, you pray about it. I'm thinking, you know what? Stop. But you know what? She's right. And I thought, man, you know, I was planning on this, but okay. I should probably pray about it. Amen. But thank God for that. That mild rebuke and that mild reminder that I need to pray before I do what I want to do. Meditating in the Word of God is what gives us genuine wisdom and understanding. You know, if we meditated on the Word of God, we'd have an understanding of the ways of God, and then we would have respect unto the ways of God. Then lastly, we are to feed the heart by remembering the Word. Notice verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not what? I will not forget thy word. The Bible is to be a book of remembrance. And if we delight in it, we will be motivated to obey it, memorize it, learn it, speak it, prioritize it, contemplate on it, and remember it. How many times have we picked up the Bible simply out of habit or simply because we want to read it through in the year and we can check that little box off? And when we got done after reading our daily reading, if someone were to ask you, what did you get out of the Bible? Huh? What would you say? It's all happened to all of us, has it not? We got nothing out of it. Why did we get nothing out of it? We didn't put anything into it. We lost our focus while reading it. Our minds were elsewhere. How are we going to remember the Word of God when we read the Word of God in such a fashion? While we may not remember all the details, we should remember the event it was speaking of, the people that were mentioned, and not all of them. If you're reading the, you know, Chronicles, the genealogy, I don't expect you to remember every one of those, and I don't think God does either. Just all those Jews. But you should remember the truth that God's trying to get across to you. Yeah, I was reading something, I think it was today or yesterday. Remember there was that king, he was like 8 years old when he took the throne. Yep. And he was brought up by the high priest, Jehoiada, right? And I was reading in there, and it talked about that the sons of Jehoiada, they also anointed, I think it was it Joash? They anointed him king. I mean, these guys had a lot of influence on this young king. And then he grew up. And Jehoiada priest died. And all of a sudden, what? He went south. And he killed one of those children of Jehoiada the priest who had anointed him to be king. Thought to myself, wow, how quickly people will turn on somebody. But you know what? I just picked that up. You know how many times I probably read that through? Lots. Maybe 100 times. And I never saw it there before. Now, was it a lack of focus on my part? Perhaps. But sometimes when you read the Word of God, something just jumps off the page to you. And it's like, wow, I wish I'd have saw that earlier. But we remember those things. Now, you may think you are one with a poor memory, but such is not the case. You remember what you want to. And if you focus your heart on God's Word, you feed it with His Word, you'll remember things related to the Scriptures. And that's the most important thing you can remember. This Word will cleanse us. It helps us live holy lives as we focus upon it and feed ourselves with it. So what do you say? That we take time to be holy and we delight ourselves in the Word of God. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.